And at 8:09, it is 45 degrees in West Bend. Overcast and breezy. Wind out of the southwest, 21. Gusts as high as 31. Blowing your pumpkin around this morning. Wind chill is at 37 degrees. And we have a guest in the studio this morning for a community conversation. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Rick. KMG 365, Fireman Kenny's on the air, helping you to stay safe in a world where danger never takes a vacation. And as always, I've got my monthly shout-outs. First off, I want to apologize for my voice this morning just because Zindor County this weekend had a for Fall Festival, had a couple great bands I was watching. So if I sound too gravelly, that's my apologies for what happened this weekend.
Danger never takes a vacation, but you did.
Danger never takes a vacation, but I did. I needed one, definitely. Been working a lot, trying to get everything kind of settled between Fire Prevention Month and all the other things. Actually, so here's part of what I'm, one of my monthly shout outs is because of working my other job. So I attended the Midwest Region Burn Conference earlier this month in Iowa City, Iowa. I want to give shout outs to Maureen Kiley and Kim Horrell from the American Burn Association, as well as Dr. Thomas Granchi, Dr. Lucy Wibbenmeyer, and Tara Maurer from the University of Iowa Medical Center Burn Treatment Center for putting on a really great conference. Also, I want to thank Dave Doherty, who is the IFF 2nd District Burn Coordinator. Dave is a firefighter paramedic with the Kansas City, Kansas Fire Department and a member of IFF Local 64. He's been a burn coordinator for a lot longer than I have. So Dave helps me make a lot of connections with the doctors and nurses involved in the treatments of burns throughout the U.S. So like I said, I've got Wisconsin, Minnesota, North and South Dakota. Dave's got Missouri, Kansas, Nebraska, and Iowa. So we collaborate on a lot of things as far as going through the conferences, and he helps me meet everybody that he knows from the Midwest. Another shout out for Mike Wass and Eric Salzwedel from the Professional Firefighters of Wisconsin Charitable Foundation for planning the 29th annual Fire Safety Recognition Luncheon on October 14th at Doc's Commerce Smokehouse in Milwaukee. I'd also like to thank his guest speaker, Sam Madigy, also known as the No-Handed Bandit, for his presentation. So Sam was an electrical line worker, lost both hands in an electrical accident while at work.
Wow.
Yeah, Sam did a great job of inspiring others to be able to achieve their goals, even after the setbacks that life dishes out from time to time. So Sam's a big burn prevention advocate, electrical safety, everything like that. So Sam did a really great job. He did a really nice presentation. So just want to say thank him for all of his efforts. All right, now we move on to our monthly sprinkler saves, or also known as fires you never hear about, because there's no news in something that was stopped from happening. And as I pointed out, I'm an advocate of fire sprinkler systems and a dues-paying member of the National Fire Sprinkler Association. For more information, you can go to www.nfsa.org. Be sure to follow the National Fire Sprinkler Association on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. You can also visit sprinklersaves.com to see the latest information on activated sprinklers that suppressed or controlled fires. So on Saturday, October 5th, a sprinkler system in the kitchen at the Door County Jail worked as intended. At about 9:50 a.m. in that morning, the Sturgeon Bay Fire Department responded to the kitchen at the Justice Center at 1201 South Duluth Avenue after a fire was reported. Fire crews were informed that the fire had been extinguished by the sprinkler system. The cause was butter being melted, ignited.
Oops.
So yeah, butter will burn. So,
oh yeah.
So the container with the burning butter was placed on a nearby cart and caused the sprinkler system to activate. Damage was said to be minimal. So again, a little bit of water damage, but the fire is the thing that actually started the problem. So the sprinkler system worked as intended.
That's a nice facility. They built that just about 10 years ago so up there.
Yeah. They have a really nice building up there in Door County. No one was injured Thursday, October 10th, when a fire broke out at the Starbucks along the Chicago River in the West Loop. Firefighters were called about 12:20 p.m. for a fire in the coffee shop in the lobby of the high-rise at 150 North Riverside Plaza, according to Chicago Fire Department spokesman Larry Langford. The fire was contained to the Starbucks, and it looked like everything is under control, Langford said. He said the sprinkler system was engaged, and the fire was put out within the hour. A preliminary investigation indicates that the fire may have started in the brewing machine or the dishwasher, Lanford said. So again, I only had two for Wisconsin and one for the Chicago area. I can always find one in the Chicago area, which with 5 million people, something's always burning and fire sprinkler systems are putting out. And our last one's in Madison. So this one is one for a recalled appliance. So make sure to check your dehumidifiers. So a recalled appliance at a Madison assisted care home malfunctioned on Monday, October 14th, causing a fire. The Madison Fire Department said crews were notified of a problem at 7710 South Brookline Drive at 3:07 p.m. after an automatic fire sprinkler activated, sending an alarm to Dane County 911 Public Safety Communications Center. The sprinkler kept the fire contained, which allowed on-site staff to deploy a fire extinguisher and put it out, the fire department said. Firefighters were directed to the location of the fire and found a heavily damaged dehumidifier.
Shocking.
I am dismayed by this one. So the dehumidifier in use was an older model that had several recalls. A drainage tube attached to the collection tank allowed the dehumidifier to run without interruption. The fire department said, although the fire produced a lot of smoke, damage was confined to the dehumidifier and there were no injuries or displaced occupants because the automatic sprinkler caught the fire right away. Fire department said crews have responded to a number of fires involving dehumidifiers that were recalled, were older models, or were simply left to run constantly for indefinite periods of time. It is unsafe to allow your dehumidifier to run interrupted, fire officials said. Homeowners and occupants should use the proper collection tank, which, when full, will prompt the dehumidifier to stop running until the tank can be emptied. The fire department also advised residents to make sure their dehumidifier hasn't been recalled. The Consumer Product Safety Commission lists all appliance recalls on its website, cpsc.gov.
See, part of that, though, is they make those tanks with that hose connection on there. You just knock out the little knockout, stick the hose on there, and it just runs
right
until it starts a fire.
Yeah, and you should make sure to use the collection tank as designed. Or anytime we talk about any of these appliances or equipment, they should be used as intended to be designed, and that's what will start a fire if it's outside of its intended use. So make sure you're using the collection tanks. Make sure you're not hooking up so it's running all the time, and you will be probably a whole lot safer in your homes and in your businesses if you have to empty the collection tank from time to time.
And that prevents the ice from building up in there and all that and the heat.
Right. As well as the filters. So you want to make sure that you're replacing those filters so they don't clog up and cause them to overheat.
Wow, there you go.
Yep.
All right. Well, hey, it's Halloween already.
It is. Look, we're coming up on Halloween, one of my favorite times of the year, probably one of the best holidays of the year. So according to the National Fire Protection Association, from 2013 to 2017, an average of 780 home structure fires began with decorations each year. About 44% of these fires occurred because decorations were too close to a heat source, such as a candle or hot equipment. More than 37% of those fires were started by candles. 21% of the decoration fires started in the kitchen, and 16% started in the living room. So the National Fire Protection Association has 5 Halloween fire safety tips. 1, use a battery-operated candle or glow stick in the jack-o'-lanterns. When choosing costumes, stay away from long trailing fabric. Teach children to stay away from open flames, including jack-o'-lanterns with candles in them. Provide children with flashlights to carry for lighting or glow sticks as part of their costume. And remember to keep exits clear of decorations so nothing blocks escape routes. Make sure all smoke alarms are working. Here's some other safety tips to remember. All costumes, wigs, and accessories should be fire resistant. Avoid masks that can obstruct vision. And drivers, be sure to watch for children walking on roadways, medians, and curbs. At twilight and later in the evening, watch for children in dark clothing.
And there's some confusion with Halloween this year because some communities are doing trick-or-treating on Saturday, some are doing it on Sunday, and some are doing it on Thursday, the actual Halloween. So if you're a driver and you're not familiar with the community, you may not know when the kids are going to be out there. So especially be aware this weekend as you're out there, because I've noticed, I think I put a link on the Facebook page as far as to trick-or-treating hours around Southeast Wisconsin. But again, you know, you're never going to be quite sure when the kids might be out there. If you're in, you know, Germantown, and you're not familiar with when their trick-or-treating is. Actually, I think theirs is the only one that's actually on Halloween. But anyway.
Yeah, so make sure that even not around Halloween, drivers should really be more aware of children out in the streets and throughout the entire year. So, but especially during Halloween, make sure that you're just looking for children out there, because there are people, and not just the children, you know, there's adults out there that may have costumes that are obstructing their vision or something, you know, or getting into their cars and trying to fumble around with their keys, trying to get their keys out of their pockets of their costumes that, you know, are in the street trying to get stuff loaded up in their cars. So, yeah, be aware the whole holiday season of people that may be out in the street, coming out between cars and not being able to see the drivers. So the drivers have to be extra cautious as they're driving through neighborhoods.
There we go. All right.
And so that's Halloween, just some short safety tips. And then because it's fire prevention month, last week was fire prevention week. We had talked about escape plans. So last month, fire prevention week actually was October 6th to the 12th. So I gave some tips. So for all parents of school-aged children listening, be sure to follow these safety tips about escape plans in your home. I would like to thank the National Fire Protection Association, the NFPA, for the safety tips on their website. For more information, you can visit www.nfpa.org. So again, another organization that I'm a dues-paying member of. So some of the tips, pull together everyone in your household and make a plan. Walk through your home and inspect all possible exits and escape routes. Households with children should consider drawing a floor plan of your home, marking two ways out of each room, including windows and doors. Also mark the location of each smoke alarm. A closed door may slow the spread of smoke, heat, and fire. Install smoke alarms in every sleeping room, outside each sleeping area, and on every level of the home. NFPA 72, which is the National Fire Alarm Code, requires interconnected smoke alarms throughout the home. When one sounds, they all sound. So that's usually in apartments. NFPA 72 doesn't really count for one and two family dwellings, but it's always a good idea if you're going to build a home or if you're going to remodel to follow that code and have interconnected smoke alarms. It gives you a little bit earlier warning. So like, let's say if you have a two-story home, if something's going on in the basement and that smoke alarm happens and you're up on the second floor, you may not hear it right away. If you have the hardwired interconnected smoke detectors, that detector goes off in the basement. They all go off. You get some early warning.
And then you know to call and or get out.
Right. Well, first off, get out, then call. So get out, make sure everyone's out, and then call 911 to make sure the fire department responds. When you walk through your plan, check to make sure the escape routes are clear and doors and windows can be opened easily. Choose an outside meeting place, such as the neighbor's house, a light post, mailbox, or stop sign, a safe distance in front of your home where everyone can meet after they've escaped. Make sure to mark the location of the meeting place on your escape plan. Go outside to see if your street number is clearly visible from the road. If not, paint it on the curb or install house numbers to ensure that responding emergency personnel can find your home. So, especially like in the country areas, so if you're in the town of Barton or town of West Bend, in the areas covered by the West Bend Fire Department, we actually, the West Bend Professional Firefighters Local 2025 has the contract to make those signs up. So if your sign is not visible, or if you need additional signs, you can go ahead and call the West Bend Fire Department and you can talk to somebody there about getting the sign for your address number in front of your house.
Now, let me ask you this. You're familiar with how my apartment complex is set up, and each of the buildings has got their own number.
Mm-hmm.
But you wouldn't necessarily know that when you pull in there. So it makes it confuses pizza delivery people.
Right.
I got to tell you. And, you know, fortunately, when I needed the ambulance, they were able to find it. But I was kind of standing outside, which helped, I suppose.
Yeah.
But what do you do in a case like that? You know, that's where you're in a, or even if you're in, you know, other kind of similar configurations.
Right. Because that is a problem, especially as buildings are getting bigger and apartment complexes are getting larger as they build them. So the thing is, like, let's say when you have to call 911, if you're in an apartment complex, make sure you know what address, as well as you could tell the dispatcher who calls at the other end of the 911 call, it's the third building on the left, or it's the building all the way in the back. So let's say there's an apartment complex on Volk Drive. You drive in, and there's six or seven buildings there that are all eight-family apartments. So if you and there's a kind of a T intersection down there, so we have to know what those addresses are. And sometimes, if we have time, we're spotting them in the books or spotting them on the GPS on our phones. But yeah, make sure you know which building it is. If you can have people flagging you down, flagging down the fire department, make sure you have somebody outside to do that as well.
All right.
Have everyone memorize the emergency phone number of the fire department. Of course, for West Bend in the area, it's 911. That way, any member of the household can call from a neighbor's home or a cellular phone once safely outside. If there are infants, older adults, or family members with mobility limitations, make sure that someone is assigned to assist them in the fire drill and in the event of an emergency. Assign a backup person, too, in case the designee is not home during the emergency. So a lot of times we have our family members who need assistance living with us. Make sure somebody is able to take care of that person.
It sounds like that may have been what happened in that group home in Fond du Lac that had the fire where the two people died because they just couldn't get off the second floor.
Right. Yeah. So always make sure that somebody is there to assist. Remember, fires grow pretty fast. So you have a lot of things in your home that are made of hydrocarbons. So they're made of basically, like I've said before, storage bins and all that plastics are made of solid gasoline. They're going to burn hot. They're going to burn fast. So make sure that you have somebody available to go get these people in the event of that kind of an emergency. If windows or doors in your home have security bars, make sure that the bars have emergency release devices inside so they can be opened immediately in an emergency. Emergency release devices won't compromise your security, but they will increase your chances of safely escaping a home fire. Tell guests or visitors to your home about your family's escape plan. When staying overnight at other people's homes, ask about their escape plan. If they don't have a plan in place, offer to help them make one. This is especially important when children are permitted to attend sleepovers at friends' homes. See NFPA's Sleepover Fire Safety for Kids fact sheet. So we've talked about this before. If people are staying at your home, go over it with them. If you're staying at someone else's house, always make sure you're looking at exits and where you can get out, as well as even if you're in hotels, motels, whatever have you, know where the nearest exit is, know if it's sprinklered or not, know if it has a fire alarm or not, and always make sure that the smoke alarms are working in the homes that you're staying at.
And there should be, even if you're in a hotel room, there should be two ways out, right?
There always should be two ways out. So so motels specifically, so motels, you enter through a door, not a common hallway, so you should have another window to get out of. And hotels, if you're in a hallway, you should have two exits on either end of the hallway. And again, a lot of those places are sprinklered. A lot of those places have fire alarms, so you should be fairly safe and get early warning, but don't take it for granted. Make sure you get out and stay out and know how to get out if something were to happen.
All right.
Be fully prepared for a real fire. When a smoke alarm sounds, get out immediately. Residents of high-rise and apartment buildings may be safer defending in place. So we've talked about that as well. If they're sprinklered and if there's people that can't get out, there are some buildings that we actually have it in our plan where there's areas of rescue assistance. So make sure that you know if that's one of those buildings that has that ability to have an area of rescue assistance. First arriving crews will probably be there to fight the fire, whereas the next arriving crews will be there to do nothing but assist and rescue people that might be trapped. And then once you're out, stay out. Under no circumstances should you ever go back into a burning building. If someone is missing, inform the fire department dispatcher when you call. Firefighters have the skills and equipment to perform those rescues. So again, we're wearing self-contained breathing apparatus, the FCBAs, where we have air that we can breathe. We're not coughing. We're not getting stinging in our eyes. The smoke and hot gases can kill you and can kill you very quickly. So don't go back in. Matter of fact, one of the things that at the burn conference I just attended in Iowa City, there was a symposium of people who had been burned. And there was a 7-year-old kid who had been burned and his mother, and they had a house fire. Well, the parents had gotten out, but they didn't know where the child was. So the father went back in. The mother did a 360 around the house, found the child outside, but the father never made it back outside. So it was a very sad story that while it's important to make sure everybody's out, human beings do not have the capability to survive very long in these, we call them IDLH environments, immediately dangerous to life and health. So even though you may think a child is in there, if you can't safely go in there and there's a chance that they wouldn't come out successfully, there's a chance you won't successfully come out as well. So a very sad ending for that family. So even though you may think a child is in there, you don't have the ability to breathe through these hot smoking gases. So get out and stay out. Let the fire department go in and make any rescues that are possible to be made.
Community conversation this morning on WIBD with Fireman Kenny.
So one of the things to do is put your plan to the test. The most important thing, practice your home fire escape plan twice a year, making the drill as realistic as possible. Once every 6 months, make sure to try to practice it. Sometimes you can make it a surprise for your kids. You know, set off the smoke detector, see if they react, see how if they are able to get out by themselves, and or if they need assistance getting out. Make arrangements in your plan for anyone in your home who has a disability. Allow children to master fire escape planning and practice before holding a fire drill at night when they are sleeping. The objective is to practice, not to frighten. So telling children there will be a drill before they go to bed can be effective as a surprise drill. It's important to determine during the drill whether children and others can readily waken to the sound of the smoke alarm. If they fail to awaken, make sure that someone is assigned to wake them up as part of the drill and in a real emergency situation. If your home has two floors, every family member, including children, must be able to escape the second floor rooms. Escape ladders can be placed in or near windows to provide an additional escape route. Review the manufacturer's instructions carefully so you'll be able to use a ladder in an emergency. Practice setting up the ladder from a first floor window to make sure you can do it correctly and quickly. Children should only practice with a grown-up and only from a first story window. Store the ladder near the window in an easily accessible location. You don't want to have to search for it before a fire.
And don't hang clothes on it. And
make sure it's available. Make sure you don't have to dig for it.
Yeah.
Always choose the escape route that is the safest, the one with the least amount of smoke and heat, but be prepared to escape under toxic smoke if necessary. When you do your fire drill, everyone in the family should practice getting low and going under the smoke to your exit.
Low, get low. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Get low, crawl.
Yeah.
And then closing doors on your way out slows the spread of the fire, giving more time to safely escape. So make sure you're closing those doors as you leave. All right. And then in some cases, smoke or fire may prevent you from exiting your home or apartment building. To prepare for an emergency like this, practice sealing yourself in for safety as part of your home fire escape plan. Close all doors between you and the fire. Use duct tape or towels to seal the door cracks and cover air vents to keep smoke from coming in. If possible, open your windows at the top and bottom so fresh air can get in. Call the fire department to report your exact location. Wave a flashlight or light-colored cloth in the window to let the fire department know where you are located.
All right. Good stuff.
All right. So then some notable events for this week. So Respiratory Care Week is this week, October 20th to the 26th. Thank you to all of our respiratory therapist friends out there who assist with breathing treatments and procedures. So we celebrated Emergency Nurses Week. We're celebrating all the respiratory therapists week, making sure that all of our healthcare practitioners really should be celebrated every of their special weeks or days or months then, because they do work very hard under very tough conditions. As well as some more heroes, National School Bus Safety Week is this week, October 21st to the 25th. Theme is My School Bus, the Safest Form of Student Transportation. For more information, you can visit the National Association for Pupil Transportation at www.napt.org. So all of our school bus drivers from Johnson Bus want to thank you for what you do every day. You're transporting our most precious cargo to school each and every day.
It's also Teen Driver Safety Week this week, too, by the way.
Oh, I missed that one. I'm gonna have to post that one today. So
take a look for that. I just saw that one. I saw something from DOT
okay.
on that this morning.
Yeah, I'll have to post that one for tomorrow. And then for November, Daylight savings time ends on the evening of Saturday, November 2nd, Sunday, November 3rd. So 2 a.m., changing your clocks. So remember to change the batteries in your smoke detectors when you change your clocks. November is National Diabetes Month, so we're going to try to get somebody from Freidert, one of the diabetes educators, to come in next month and talk about diabetes. November will also be National Chronic Obstructive Pulmonary Disease Month. So diseases like emphysema and bronchitis that has awareness, and try to talk about that. Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Adopt a Senior Pet Month is November.
I have a friend who has 3 or 4 senior dogs all the time.
And the thing is, there's so many. So I was aware of it, but now that I have adopted a rescue dog, so those of you who have seen Zoe at the dog park, Zoe the foxhound, I become more aware of how widespread the problem of loose pets and puppy mills and all that kind of stuff are. There's a lot of people who don't treat dogs and cats very nicely. So there's a lot of senior pets that get given up for various reasons. And senior pets make great pets in their final years. So we're going to celebrate Adopt a Senior Pet Month in November. Hopefully somebody can adopt a senior pet. And then finally, November 10th through the 16th is National Nurse Practitioner Week. So for those of you who don't know, nurse practitioners are nurses who have a master's degree. They are able to practice without the assistance of a doctor, so they can practice on their own. So they are some people who have... who don't have doctors as their primary care provider. They have nurse practitioners. So a lot of Aurora patients will have Paula Carlton from Aurora as one of their lead practitioners.
Right.
So they are those people that are very important, especially as there's been a more shortage of doctors. Nurse practitioners and nurse PhDs are kind of filling those blanks in the to cover for the lack of doctors that are out there. So a lot of people see nurse practitioners as their primary care practitioner.
Right.
So we're going to celebrate that week, November 10th through the 16th.
All right. Sounds good. Community conversation this morning with West Bend Fire Captain Kenny Anslin. Hey, so you going to do some trick-or-treating? Are you hosting this year? You probably have trick-or-treaters coming.
Because now at my old place, I had a condo at the end of a court, so nobody really came. So I'm really going to have to be prepared this year for my new house in the center of town. So I'm probably going to have to do a little decorating and have candy out and be ready for the trick-or-treaters that are coming in my neighborhood.
There you go. All right. Happy Halloween. Thanks for coming in.
No problem. Everybody, all the listeners, have a great day.
101.3 WIBD AM 1470.